Let's continue our birthday tribute to James Brown, who turned 70, or maybe 75, tomorrow. In 1994, Terry spoke with James Brown alumni Bootsy Collins, one of the most celebrated funk bass players. Collins also spent years with George Clinton, combining funk with science fiction and psychedelics. Then Collins formed his own group, Bootsy's Rubber Band, and created the stage persona Bootzilla. It was an oversized name to go with his flashy costumes and monster-sized eyeglasses. But it was James Brown who taught Bootsy Collins to play funk in the early 70s, when he was recording hits like Sex Machine and Superbad.
One, two, three, hit it!
Watch me! Watch me! I got it! Watch me! I got it! Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul, and I'm super bad. I got soul, and I'm super bad. Now I got a move that tells me what to do. Sometimes I tear. Now I got a move that tells me what to do. Sometimes I feel so nice, I wanna try myself a few. I got soul, and I'm super bad.
Well, listen, I went back to James Brown's autobiography to see what he had to say about you.
Yeah. Oh, good.
So he writes, I think Bootsy learned a lot from me. When I met him, he was playing a lot of bass.
Yeah.
The ifs, ands, and the buts.
Yeah, he's right.
I got him to see the importance of the one in funk.
Yeah.
The downbeat at the beginning of every bar.
That's right.
I got him to key in on the dynamic parts of the one.
That's right.
Instead of playing all around it.
Yeah.
Then he could do all of his stuff in the right places after the one.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
No, was it hard to make the adjustment to playing on the one?
No, because I knew he knew something. I mean, you know, you know, and I was there to learn. It wasn't like, you know, this is my party, and I'll fly if I want to. I knew it was James's party, you know, and whatever he knew, I wanted to find out because, you know, he just had this. The band was the tightest band in the land, and he had this thing going on. We wanted to find out what the heck it was, you know.
Now, had you been playing on the 2 and 4 before?
I started playing on the with a guitar, and I wasn't actually a bass player yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was learning to play bass, you know, and I wanted to play bass. So it was like all those other ifs, ands, and buts is what I was playing when I picked up the bass, you know. It was like, oh, you mean I got to play on the dominant note? Oh, okay. So it was like all brand new to me, you know, and I just didn't feel like a normal bass player, you know, so... But by James telling me that, it all kind of made sense. And once I started hearing it, you know, what was actually happening when I did that, it was like, oh, and then I can still do this and I can still do that. So it was a groove. It was really a groove.
Now, let me play one of the recordings you made with James Brown. Why don't we hear Sex Machine? And do you want to say anything about the rhythm you're playing on this?
That's pretty much the whole rhythm is what I figure I've been doing ever since. When you hear Sex Machine, that's pretty much where I'm at now.
Okay, here we go.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene. Machine.
Get on up,
get up,
get on up,
stay on the scene,
get on up,
like a sex machine,
get on up,
wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your palm, stay on the scene, like a sex machine, you got to have the feeling, sure your bone, get it together, right on, right on, get up,
get on up,
get up,
my guest is Bootsy Collins. Now, tell me how your image changed when you started playing with James Brown. What you did on stage, what you wore on stage.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. What I wore on stage. Oh, man. Well, as you know, I may not know, those were the days, like in the 60s, getting ready to go into the 70s. But, you know, it was another kind of movement going on, and kids were, like, coming up front and wearing, like, bleached jeans and T-shirts and afros and, you know, the granny glasses. And, you know, we was all freaking out. We was having a freaking party, you know. And I don't know, then here we are. We're playing with James Brown, and, you know, we're in the Army now. You know, it's like, whoa. You know, so it's like, but it was good for the fact that it kind of brought us off of the street. We were out there doing what everybody else was doing, acting crazy, throwing firebombs and doing everything, you know. So getting with James kind of brought us off of the street. And, you know, I think we kind of realized that. And at the same time, you know, it gave us the opportunity of really doing something that we wanted to do. So, you know, we kind of put everything else in the back seat because this is what we wanted to do. Even though, you know, we wanted to dress crazy. We didn't know how crazy we wanted to dress, but we didn't want to wear suits. You know, we knew that.
So you were wearing matching suits on stage while everybody else was wearing jeans and tie-dyed T-shirts?
Yeah, while this movement was going on, the peace, the love, that was going on. And, you know, here we are, you know, getting stuck with wearing suits and patent leather shoes, you know. And but at that time, you know, it was a start of it, so it was cool, you know. We said, well, we'll eat this because, you know, we definitely, you know, want to be with James, you know. So if you want to be with James, that's what you had to do.
So you left the band after just a couple of years.
Yeah.
What was the turning point for you that made you think, it's time now, I'm getting out?
Well, you know, I got you know, all the other bands was coming up wearing the freaky stuff that I said, well, wow, I could have did that 3 years ago. You know? And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it was like that. And then it was like, you know, you just want to do things the way you want to do them on stage. You want to go crazy. You want to freak out, you know, because that's what time it was, you know. And here we were just standing up there being the tightest band in the land, but, you know, it was only a certain amount of movement you can do, you know. You couldn't jump out in the audience and freak out and act crazy, you know. Like, that's what it was going to, you know. And that's what we wanted to do, you know. We just wanted to have a low-down, hold-down, and, you know, drip-until-you-wet type party.
Let me play one of the classic Bootsy records. Why don't I play Bootzilla?
Oh, yeah.
Say something about writing and recording this.
Let's see. That was in, I think it was in 78, right? 1978. And we done that at the P-Funk Lab in Detroit. And it was George Clinton, myself. We just kind of went in and winged it. And all of a sudden, the monster was born. The rock star doll baby bubble. Yeah.
This is Bootsy Collins from his new Warner Brothers collection.
Yeah, but there goes the ball! I'll come equipped with stereophonic, funk-producing, disco-inducing, twin magnetic pump receptors! Oh, I'm perfect for bumming, you see. Just wind me up! Put me on your credit card, man. And at no extra expense comes this remote control unit. Oh, yeah, I'm programmable. One heck of a doll, baby mama. Bootzilla here! Made by the makers of funky things to play with. Trademark Funk Attack Incorporated, mama.
Pull my string, I'll dance, I'll sing, I'll
play. Yeah, but never do, mama.
Now, I want to ask you a couple things about your bass. You actually started off playing guitar,
yeah,
and then you started using bass strings on the guitar,
yeah,
and that's how you started playing bass. Well, why didn't you get a bass?
Money. Uh-huh. I didn't have any money, you know. It was like my mother had bought me this guitar because I had begged her, you know, for years, right, about this one guitar, man. And she finally got it for me, and then I decided that I want to play bass, you know. And you know, it's like, right, come on, man, it took me all these years to get this guitar, you know. So what it was my brother was, you know, he was like playing guitar, and I wanted to be in, I realized that I wanted to be in a band with him after I got a guitar. So how was I going to be in a band with him playing guitar? And he's the guitar player. So I decided, wow, I got to become the bass player. So that's when that big thing came up with, okay, well, I'll take some bass strings and I'll put them on my guitar and I'll play bass with him. You know, this was my big, dream to just play with him.
I think James Brown gave you your first bass.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah.
What was it like learning to actually play bass on bass instead of on guitar?
Well, you know, the only difference, I think, was the neck was longer, you know, because the strings were pretty much the same. I had put bass strings on the guitar, so they were pretty much the same. It felt the same, but I think the neck was longer because James had got me this Fender Jazz bass, you know, and it was a long sucker, and it was like, whoa, wow, it was like a Cadillac, you know? Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing the interview.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine.
Terry Gross talking with Bootsy Collins in 1994. Collins was a bass player for James Brown, who celebrates a birthday this weekend.